If you have your Bible there with you, please turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 39. Genesis 39. And we shall read the whole chapter. Genesis 39. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" So it was, and she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought in to us a Hebrew to mock us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." And it happened, when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until his master came home. Then she spoke to him with words like this, saying, "The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside." So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, "Your servant did to me after this manner," that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the written word. We pray at this time that the Holy Spirit himself will be present in a mighty way amongst us. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill the hearers with the Holy Spirit. And I pray, O God, that you will teach us something that we can apply to our lives. Thank you that you are with us in all our temptations. Thank you, Lord, that we are not alone. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to uphold us. Bless us now as we look into your word, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you, O Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. While I was preparing this message, I read a story about a little boy named Bobby, who desperately wanted to buy a new 10-speed bicycle. His plan was to save his small coins until he had enough money to buy the special bicycle. Each night, he asked God to help him save his money. Kneeling beside his bed, he prayed, "Dear Lord, please help me save my money for a new bike. And please, Lord, don't let the ice cream man come down the street again tomorrow." Little Bobby recognized that his desire for ice cream was a major temptation that could derail his plan to buy his dream bicycle. He therefore requested help from above to ensure that the ice cream man would not show up on his street the following day. Temptation has been a human problem for a very, very long time. As we know, Eve was tempted by Satan in the Garden of Eden, and our Lord Jesus Christ himself was tempted by the same evil one in the desert. David was tempted by Bathsheba, who was the wife of Uriah. The temptation to do what is wrong in the sight of God is real, and we experience it on a daily basis in all kinds of ways. It is quite likely that you and I have been tempted over the past week. And maybe you have been tempted today. The big question is, did we overcome or did we yield to the temptations? A well-known ancient saying that is relevant to temptation goes something like this: you cannot prevent a bird from flying over your head, but you can prevent it from making a nest on your head. Indeed, we cannot stop temptations from coming our way, but by God's grace, we can avoid falling into temptations. Bearing in mind that our Lord Jesus Christ himself was tempted, I think it is true to say that being tempted in itself is not a sin, but yielding to temptation is definitely a sin. Every temptation we encounter in life is an opportunity to test the genuineness of our faith, and we can grow spiritually with every victory that we win. The title of this message is When temptation comes, and I would like us to focus on three key points. The first one is, when temptation comes, honor God. Secondly, when temptation comes, stand firm. And thirdly, when temptation comes, take the exit door. It is my prayer that the principles highlighted in this message will help us as we face various temptations that come our way. So let us now look at the three key points. The first one, when temptations come, honor God. I think most of us are familiar with the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob. He is probably best remembered for three things. The first one, his dreams, indicating that one day he will rule over his brothers and his parents. Secondly, his multicolored dress, which his father Jacob bought for him. And thirdly, he was the man who went to Egypt as a slave, and through God's incredible favor, he became the country's prime minister. In the story we read in Genesis 39, Joseph's dreams had not yet been fulfilled, but God was moving him along the hard road leading to their fulfillment. Joseph's brothers sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelites, who later sold him to Potiphar, who was Pharaoh's captain of the guard. As indicated in Genesis 39, verses 2 to 6, Joseph was successful in everything he did for one basic reason: because God was with him. God also blessed Potiphar because of Joseph, and he was given the big task of looking after the home and property of Potiphar. It is my prayer that God will be with us and bless us so that we in turn can be a blessing to others. In the midst of success and God's favor came a major temptation to Joseph. According to Genesis 39:6, Joseph was well built and handsome. These physical gifts that God gave him caught the attention of Potiphar's wife, and she desperately wanted to sleep with him. In other words, Joseph was being tempted to commit the sin of adultery. However, as indicated in Genesis 39, verses 8 to 9, Joseph refused to do such a thing for two important reasons. Firstly, he did not want to betray the trust that his earthly master, Potiphar, had in him. Secondly, he did not want to sin against his heavenly master, the Almighty God. When we are tempted, let us follow this example of high integrity demonstrated by Joseph towards man and God. Furthermore, Joseph obviously realized that his actions were not hidden from God, and he did not want in any way to let God down. King David was another person who was very conscious that all his actions were known to God. In Psalm 139, verses 3 to 4, he wrote the following words: "You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. This reminds me of a story from the book titled Velvet Glove, Iron Fist, written by Konosuke Matsushita, who was the founder of the well-known company Panasonic. This is what he wrote in his book. In China's later Han era, there lived a politician called Yang Zhen, a man known for his upright character. After Yang Zhen was made a provincial governor, one of his earlier patrons, Wang Mi, paid him an unexpected visit. As they talked over old times, Wang Mi brought out a large gold cup and presented it to Yang Zhen. Yang Zhen refused to accept it, but Wang Mi persisted, saying, "There's no one here tonight but you and me, so no one will know." "You say that no one will know," Yang Zhen replied. But that is not true. Heaven will know, and you and I know too." Oh. Wang Min was ashamed, and he backed down. Now, although Yang Min was not a Christian, it is very significant that he said to the man who was trying to bribe him, "Heaven will know." When we are tempted, let us remember those words. Heaven will know. Yes, our God can see every move we make. May we bring glory and honor to him by refusing to yield to temptations. It is worth noting also that Joseph's handsome appearance was a gift from God, and he refused to use it in a sinful way. God loves each one of us dearly, and he has given us some gifts and special abilities. How are you using your gifts and abilities? Are you using them in a sinful way? If so, I challenge you to repent and use them only for the glory of the Almighty God. Let's go to the second key point. When temptation comes, stand firm. Another important thing we notice about the behavior of Potiphar's wife is that she refused to take no for an answer. But Joseph stood firm and refused to yield to temptation. In Genesis 39, verse 10, we read the following words. "So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her." Joseph had many opportunities to do what was wrong in the sight of God, but he firmly refused to do so. This is a good example for us to follow. Now, the method used by Potiphar's wife is a method the devil has used to bring down many people over the centuries. Indeed, when temptations come our way, the devil likes to try again and again, wearing us down more and more, expecting us to reach a breaking point where we give in and do his sinful will. That is his tactic. He has practiced it, he has used it again and again. So watch out for that. According to Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, the devil tried the same tactic on our Lord Jesus Christ. The devil tempted him 3 times, but Jesus defeated him 3 times by using the word of God. It is written. It is written. The devil doesn't like to hear those words. It is written. Let us follow that great example when we are tempted. Let us strike the devil with the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, as we read earlier on from Ephesians 6, verse 17. The pastor helped us to read it, incidentally. In this regard, we need to practice what is stated in Psalm 119. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. We have the assurance that because Jesus himself experienced temptations while here on earth, he is in a position to help us. In Hebrews 2 verse 18, we read, because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. We are also encouraged by the words found in Philippians chapter 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We thank God that such a vital help is available to us when we are tempted. I would also like to stress here that while I mentioned the sword of the Spirit as part of the weapons for conquering the evil one, let us remember to put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the wiles or the schemes of the evil one. So put on the whole armor of God. Furthermore, one of the verses of the popular hymn we sang, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, reminds us of the importance of prayer in dealing with temptations. One of the verses went like this. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Therefore, when temptations come, let us make it a priority to pray. Indeed, Jesus knows our strengths and our weaknesses, and he can deliver to us all the help we need just at the right time. He will welcome all kinds of prayers from us, including what I call SOS prayers. I have used SOS prayers with great effect over the years. Prayers such as, oh Jesus, help me. Oh Jesus, help me. And he will hear such a heartfelt prayer. Don't forget to use SOS prayers. They really work, I can tell you from my own experience. Have you been struggling with a particular temptation? Is the devil wearing you down gradually? If so, God is telling you today, stand firm. Don't give in. Victory is yours through our Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you all the help and all the support that you need to go through the temptation successfully. Let's look at the last key point. When temptation comes, take the exit door. One of the things I usually check when I stay in hotels or go to concert halls is where to find the exit door. This is not because I'm a negative person. No, I'm very positive. But it's just a basic precaution, just in case of emergency. Very early in my professional career, I was attending a training course in one of the hotels in Lagos, Nigeria. It was a residential training course. And during one particular night, by God's grace, I woke up because I could smell something burning. I quickly checked my room, and when I found that there was nothing burning inside the room, I opened the door. And as I looked, I noticed a wall of fire at the end of the corridor. Surprisingly, the fire alarm was not ringing. And so I shouted on the top of my voice, "Fire! Fire!" to wake up the other guests as I ran towards the exit door. I thank God that all the guests made it safely down to the ground floor and nobody was injured. It was quite a scary experience for me, but it taught me the importance of the exit door in a building. Note two important steps that Joseph took in order not to fall into the temptation from Potiphar's wife. In Genesis 39:10, we read that Joseph refused to be with her, which meant that he avoided spending time with her. In Genesis 39:12, we also read that Joseph ran out of the house, leaving his garment in the hand of Potiphar's wife. These two points indicate to us that Joseph took precautions not to fall into temptation. When you are tempted, do you take all necessary precautions to avoid falling into sin? Remember the challenge and encouragement we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. We must be humble in facing temptations, realizing that it is our faithful God who can keep us from falling. It is quite clear that God wants us to overcome the temptations we face, and he will show us the way out when we are being tempted. However, are we prepared to take that way out? The American missionary Jim Elliot, who was martyred in Ecuador, made the following important statement. Unwillingness to accept God's way of escape from temptation frightens me. What a rebel yet resides within. Sometimes we behave like a rebel. We do not want to take God's exit door. I challenge you today, brothers and sisters, when God shows you the way out, when God shows you that door called emergency exit door, in your temptation, please take it. It is the safest way to get out of it. It is the way and path to victory. Are we sincerely eager to take God's emergency exit door when we are tempted? If a building is on fire, it is wise to look for and quickly go through the emergency exit door, as I did in Lagos, Nigeria. I urge all of us not to ignore God's warning signs and the way out when we are being tempted. It is very easy to say, "The devil made me do it," when we have fallen into sin. While it is true that the devil is behind the temptations we face, the path to victory over temptations is to go through the way out that God has provided. Don't let the pleasures of sin prevent you from going through that door. May God help us to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit when temptations come our way. Furthermore, we see from Genesis 39, verses 13 to 23, that after doing what was right in God's sight, not yielding to temptation, Joseph had to suffer injustice. He was put in prison because of the lies of Potiphar's wife. However, it is encouraging that even while in prison, Joseph continued to find favor with God. In Genesis 39:21, we read, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Therefore, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, you can be sure that God will help you take care of the consequences of not yielding to temptations. In conclusion, we have considered the topic, when temptation comes, and we focused on three key points. When temptation comes, honor God. When temptation comes, stand firm. When temptation comes, take the exit door. I challenge us all to follow the great examples shown by our Lord Jesus Christ and Joseph on how to overcome temptations. If you have already accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, and you have fallen into a particular temptation, don't be discouraged. There is still hope for you. According to 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Therefore, if you have yielded to a particular temptation, come today in repentance and God will completely forgive you. On the other hand, if you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I can say that you lack access to strength, to the strength and power that you need to overcome temptations. Therefore, I challenge you to come to Jesus today by faith, believing that his death on the cross took away all your sins. In Romans 3:23, we read, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 say that, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Indeed, no good deed can save any of us. Salvation is a free gift from God, because the blood of Jesus was shed on the cross for the forgiveness of all our sins. I encourage you to accept that free gift of forgiveness by faith without delay, so that you can enjoy what is promised in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. May God help us to apply this message to our lives. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement we have that when we are being tempted, you are there with us. We also thank you that we have your word that we can use as a weapon to attack the evil one. We also thank you, Lord, that it is very clear that you will always show us a way out when we are being tempted. We pray that you give us that heart of obedience to follow that way out and so overcome our temptations. Father, we also would like to remember at this time those who are suffering in one way or the other. We pray, O Lord, for those who are sick in our midst. We pray that you lay your healing hands on them. Lord, we pray for those who are discouraged. We pray, Lord, that you lift them up and encourage them today. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who have lost loved ones, particularly from COVID-19. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you comfort them deeply. And Lord, for those people who are suffering from the infection right now, we pray that you lay your healing hands on them and make them completely well. And Lord, we pray for our members who are working in the NHS, who are working tirelessly, Lord, to help others. Lord, I pray today that you pour your mighty strength into them, that you grant them your spirit of wisdom to know how best to do their work to help others. Father, encourage them in every way today. And Father, we want to pray for those who are working to find effective medication and also, Lord, vaccines to counter this virus. We pray, O God, that you grant them success very soon. We also commit to your hands our leaders as they take various policy decisions concerning how to tackle COVID-19. Lord, you are the source of wisdom. We pray that you grant our leaders all the wisdom they need to make the right decisions at this crucial time. And so, Lord, we commit ourselves to your hands. Pray that you will uphold us. Pray that you will guide us. Pray that you bless us and make us a blessing to many people. We ask all these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. Thank you. God bless you.